Hey, folks. This is Ben Greenfield, and my guest on today's show is a beast, Kyle Kingsbury. He's a former football player at Arizona State University, a mixed martial artist who fought professionally for 8 years, 6 years of that being in the UFC. And he came up to my house. We spent some time in my backyard recording this a few weeks ago, actually. Kyle's a pretty entertaining guy. And in the show notes, I'm going to put a pretty entertaining video. Do you like how I said that? Pretty entertaining. I'm going to put a very entertaining video of Kyle up to a whole bunch of biohacking goodness, along with the healthy morning smoothie that Kyle and I made together, a big ass smoothie. So the show notes are full of goodness, and you can access them over at BenGreenfieldFitness.com/Kyle. That's BenGreenfieldFitness.com/Kyle. So you're going to hear this one from my backyard.
All right, folks, you may have heard the recent podcast episode I recorded with this cat who designed a drink. His name is Zach Abbott. He designed a drink that you throw back, it's a little shot, and it digests the toxic byproducts of alcohol for you, meaning that you feel great the next day after you've been drinking. And while I only endorse holiday responsible drinking and responsible drinking in general, it is nice to know you can maybe sneak in an extra cocktail or a glass of wine, just because that holiday party is so freaking long and there's nothing to do but drink. So you throw back a shot of this stuff, and it basically digests acetaldehyde for you, which is the chemical unwanted byproduct of alcohol. And so what they've done is they've bioengineered this probiotic to do that for you. And it works amazingly. You feel great the next day. It's very, very simple. You get a box of this stuff. You throw back a shot of it before you drink. Or if you forget, sometimes people are forgetful and you remember halfway through the party, you just throw it back then. And here's the deal. They've got steep discounts going on. You go to ZBiotics, called ZBiotics, if you're in Europe, ZBiotics.com/Ben. ZBiotics.com/Ben. You get 15% off your first order when you use code Ben at checkout. 100% money back guarantee. So if you're unsatisfied for any reason, because you had 8 glasses of wine, you woke up the next morning and you weren't feeling that great, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. But please don't have 8 glasses of wine. So you go to ZBiotics.com/Ben. Use code Ben at checkout for 15% off. You got to try this stuff. Everybody I've told about ZBiotics, they have literally come back and said, dude, I had no clue. I was skeptical at first. I was skeptical myself, but it actually works. Very interesting. So ZBiotics.com/Ben. All right, folks. Well, cold turkey might be great on sandwiches, but there's a better way to break a bad habit than quitting that bad habit, cold turkey. I'm not talking about some weird mind voodoo from your crazy neighbor standing on a nail bed or something like that. I'm talking about this thing called Fume. This little thing called Fume holds a hallowed place in my fanny pack, actually. Been hitting up the maple pepper core in that thing quite a bit. So anyways, the Fume is not a vape. It's a flavored air device. You breathe natural flavors through it. Like I said, I got the maple pepper core loaded up in mine right now. Turns out black pepper really hits the spot, so I can feel satisfied without breathing in or chewing on anything bad. It's amazing. I've got another one called the crisp mint core, so I can breathe in mint flavored air rather than a pen infused with something else. You know what I mean? That kind of bad habit that isn't good for you. Instead, you just basically use this pen, and it is an essential oil pen. It's amazing. A flavored air device. You get the taste sensation and the fidget and that hand-to-mouth action, but you don't have to feel guilty about the habit. It's a good habit to have. They have a whole bunch of natural, delicious flavors. It's not a vape. Don't get me wrong. It's a natural air device. It's fully legal. It doesn't have anything bad in it. I even use it on an airplane. I get a few funny looks with people who think I'm vaping on an airplane, even though I'm not. It's just basically flavored air, and it tastes great. I found it made my cravings go out the window. It's weird. It's a crazy life hack, but it works, and it's super sexy and cool looking too. So it's called Fume, F-U-M. You can get 10% off this thing if you go to tryfume.com, tryfume.com. Use code Ben to save 10%. So you can accelerate humanity's breakup from destructive habits by picking up what's called their Journey Pack today. It has a whole bunch of cool flavors, including that crisp mint core and the maple pepper core, two of my favorites. So again, tryfume.com/Ben and use code Ben to save 10% off your order from Fume, F-U-M. All right, folks, clinical research has shown that therapeutically and for overall health and well-being, the most critical time to ground is when you sleep. The electrons you absorb when grounding neutralizes free radical damage, squelches inflammation, restores healthy endocrine function, enhances cellular gating and circulation. That then improves the cellular uptake of nutrients and oxygen and hormones while maximizing the removal of cellular waste. And you can now ground when you sleep. This company called Ultimate Longevity makes indoor grounded sleeping devices, and they've done clinical research studies on grounding the human body for health. When you sleep on these mats, you get 6 to 8 hours of uninterrupted grounding, meaning I could travel, unroll it onto my hotel room bed, and fight all of the radiation, the inflammation I got from flying in the airplane right there during a full night of sleep. Full body grounding, which is what these mats give you versus just your feet on the ground, maximizes the electron transfer because the more surface area contact, the more beneficial the electrons, the more the results. So you get these amazing benefits, and inside your body, this stream of electrons works as an anti-inflammatory, pain-relieving, anti-aging, antioxidant boost, squelching inflammation all night long. They've got over 20 peer-reviewed research studies that have been published on the extensive health benefits of grounding. For vagal tone, serum electrolytes, thyroid function, blood glucose, blood viscosity, sleep, pain, stiffness, blood pressure, stress, even depression and anxiety. It's crazy. So you can go to ultimatelongevity.com/Ben to get your hands on these grounding mats. You can do mattress, pillow, blankets, a whole bunch of other valuable tools to help you bring your inflammation down and jumpstart your healing process. Again, it's ultimatelongevity.com/Ben.
In this episode of the Ben Greenfield Fitness Show.
If you don't have an off switch, if you don't, even just 5 to 10 minutes, if you don't turn your brain off, you're just going to be running that system into the ground. It'd be the equivalent of trying to work out all day long. You're never really going to get a lot out of your workout. You can't hit a maximal effort if you're just constantly moving. And it's the same thing with the brain.
There are foods on this planet that are so good for you that you really shouldn't be looking at the macros with. And if it means going over 50 grams of carbs, who cares? You know, so one of those being sprouted seeds, sprouted pumpkin, sprouted sunflower seeds.
He's an expert in human performance and nutrition. Voted America's top personal trainer and one of the globe's most influential people in health and fitness. His show provides you with everything you need to optimize physical and mental performance. He is Ben Greenfield.
Power, speed, mobility, balance. Whatever it is for you, that's the natural movement. Get out there. When you look at all the studies done, studies that have shown the greatest efficacy.
All the information you need in one place, right here, right now, on the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast.
So, Kyle, you're picking little cacao nibs out of your teeth there. How was that meal?
I'm still working them out. Quite delicious.
Did you like my morning smoothie?
I like how I can taste all the different flavors. It's truly a symphony in my mouth.
That's complex. You should be a MasterChef judge. You know, a lot of folks who I have over to my home who I feed my morning smoothie to, they tend to kind of make a frowny face, and then one edge of their mouth goes up a little bit. And then they ask me if I have any scrambled eggs or bacon. And apparently they don't like the medicinal taste of my morning smoothie. But I absolutely love it when into a blender.
I'm not sure they understand how good cinnamon is, how good turmeric is, how good
they
cacao is.
It. Yeah. We shot a whole video of, well, this morning smoothie was ice and lemon at the bottom because the coolness from the ice and the ascorbic acid from the lemon helps to prevent oxidation of all the other relatively expensive things that we proceeded to place into the smoothie. We added a whole box of Kettle and Fire organic bone broth. We added some organic wild arugula, Ceylon cinnamon to lower that postprandial blood glucose response, even though there really aren't a lot of carbohydrates in my morning smoothie. We added a little bit of hemp pea rice vanilla flavored protein powder and some butterscotch organic stevia, and then a whole bunch of organic cacao powder. And then we blended that all up over the ice, and we broke up a Nature Bite bar, and we put one of the Greenfield Fitness Systems Nature Bite bars in there. And we put a nootropic energy bar that the folks at True Brain sent to me. We crumbled that up and put that in there. A whole bunch of organic unsweetened coconut flakes. And by the way, all these other things are after we blend, right, Kyle?
That's right.
We can get the chewableness.
Get a little chewable
and clustered sea salt, a little Aztec sea salt, and what else do we do? I said cacao nibs. Yeah, cacao nibs, and that was it. And each of us got our own blender bowl because it's so big. You get your, it's one of those smoothies where you get your giant cup, my Teddy Roosevelt man in the arena quote cup. And then you get whatever's left over in the blender bowl with the spatula. It's a man's man drink.
Well, it's nice, too. It's like when you go to Johnny Rockets or one of these places as a kid, and they always give you the little extra ice cream from the milkshake. Mm-hmm. You want to have that. I want to have that feeling.
Whenever I go anywhere and I have them make me a smoothie, I always lean over the counter and I watch them, and I see just as they're about to throw that wonderful blended smoothie into the trash, which is what they do. You know, they just rinse it out and toss it. I tell them, hey, why don't you grab an extra cup and put some of that goodness in there. I'll take that off your hands for you.
Let me get both.
Yeah. So I've had Kyle, for those of you listening in, who I will I'll introduce here in a moment, over at my house the past couple of days. We've also been throwing out some workouts. How'd you like this morning's workout, Kyle?
Well, it started a little rough, but you scaled it down for me, thankfully, and it was phenomenal. It was good. It was a good pace of jack the heart rate up, mm-hmm. get the body moving, and then kind of tone it down, control the breath, you know, when we're doing some of the other exercises towards the end of the rounds, like the glute ham activation.
That's something I've been doing a lot, like morning so I'll work out hard one day, but then the next day I'll do something that's a little bit more morning mobility. So like yesterday we tackled the obstacle course, right? So both of our legs are bleeding. We were climbing the vertical ropes, the 30 foot vertical ropes.
Some nice rope burn from
horizontal
that.
Climbs and the log crawl and the bucket carry and the keg carry and the tire flip and the rig.
The barbed wire crawl.
Yeah. But then this morning, you know, it's basically like some easier, lighter kettlebell get-ups, some roll-outs with like an ab wheel, goblet squats, but not like incredibly heavy, more like range of motion goblet squats. We did
that little bridges. Plank exercise you did where you supersetted mm-hmm. with the ab rollout was phenomenal. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a really good morning mobility exercise. What you do, for those of you listening in, and by the way, just so I don't leave this too far in the background for you, that smoothie that we talked about, we video recorded the whole thing, and you can go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/Kyle. That's bengreenfieldfitness.com/Kyle, as in Kyle Kingsbury, KYLE, if you want to watch the smoothie goodness ensue, as well as any of these exercises or anything else we talk about. But this plank exercise, I really like it for your pelvic joint and your pelvic mobility. You just get into a plank position and you take your ASIS, that hard bone on either side of your hips, and you rotate your ASIS and then drop it down to the ground until you get it to touch the ground. And then you rotate back the other direction and you do it in the other direction.
I could feel that opening up the psoas. Yeah, it felt really good.
Yeah, exactly. So our psoases are nice and open for this morning's show. Who is Kyle Kingsbury? Who are you, Kyle? Former football player, Arizona State, right?
Yep.
What position?
Defensive end or defensive tackle. I was nice. Too small to be a good D tackle and too slow to be a good defensive end.
Nice. I like it. But you were good enough to be an MMA artist. You fought professionally for a while after that.
Yeah, 8 years professional, 6 years in the UFC.
And I only know this because we went down to the rope swing at the Spokane River. And we were getting ready to jump off the rope swing, and someone's like, "Kyle Kingsbury, UFC fighter." And
all of a sudden, Kyle Kingsbury.
Yeah, you know, all the kids are coming over wanting to pose for shots with Kyle, while the rest of us slunk into the backgrounds and played on the rope swings.
They recognized you because the way you were talking into the camera, they were like, "Oh, I think he's a YouTuber. I've seen them YouTubers before."
Yeah,
so that was nice.
Now, see, I was a random YouTuber, but they actually recognized you. Anyways, though, for those of you listening in, Kyle knows a lot. Actually, we've had a chance to touch on a lot, from longevity to plant based medicine to a lot of these workouts to, you know, family and kids and beyond. And so there's plenty that we could talk about today, and plenty that I've heard you talk about as well. So. Rough to actually know where to start, but you told me about a few things that you were interested in discussing. And so, I've got a whole list in front of me. And one of the first things that you told me, and this might sound completely random, is that you've been into really, you know, I asked you how you're working out these days. And you talk about how you're trying to utilize the hormetic effects of certain activities to enhance your fitness, rather than just like, you know, crushing it with hard workouts, really, really focusing more on hormetic stressors. So tell me a little bit about that and how you're utilizing hormetic stressors.
Well, I started, I mean, I guess the concept would be I had to bust my ass for so many years in fighting. It was kind of like, what are the cheat codes I can enter in to create some type of systemic response where my body's going to respond and really think of things ancestrally, like, all right, if we don't have air conditioning in our cars, air conditioning in our homes and things like that, like how would we live? What are the types of stress that our body would encounter? And I live in Las Vegas now, so it gets pretty hot. And so I was telling you about the poor man's sauna, the poor man's heat shock protein guide that I'm doing, where I get a sauna suit like you would cut weight in before a fight or something like that. And I'll throw this guy on with some sweats underneath, get the headphones going, and I just go for a nose-breathing walk. So I try to time that in the middle of the day after a heavy powerlifting session.
Are you talking about like one of these sauna seats you can just like buy off Amazon?
Yeah,
like
$30.
Like a giant yeah. wrap of aluminum foil around.
Yeah, pretty much. So I'll throw on some sweats, a few layers underneath. That way, I have something to sweat into, and then I'll throw that on over the top, and it'll be 105 to 115 depending on when I'm going out in the day. And I'll really focus on nose breathing the entire time. And I was doing this in April when we first moved out there, and it was pretty nice weather, high 70s, low 80s, so nothing too hard on the body. But I wasn't sure that I'd be able to get through this 100 degrees that was coming over the summer. And it's amazing how fast the body adapts and responds when you put it through things like this, because just in a matter of weeks, it jumped into the hundreds, and I'm able to continue to do this. So
I used to do this when I trained for Ironman Hawaii. What I would do is in the summer, I just wouldn't use my AC at all. I'd drive around with my windows up and purposefully get the car as hot as possible and just choose the middle of the afternoon to go run errands. And I would get home just drenched in sweat. Poor man's sauna. But it worked. You don't have to actually go buy a spa membership or buy some fancy infrared sauna for your basement, which is nice.
I will be getting that.
We've been spending a lot of time in my infrared sauna, by the way, for those of you listening in. What was that first session that we did? We slept like babies the first night. We just put on the sauna, put a bunch of Blue Spruce essential oil in there. We played Michael Tyrell's Love Life and Lullabies tracks, which are like these beats that are specifically designed. I've had this guy on my podcast, specifically designed to produce certain frequencies of relaxation. And then we went from there to a quick dip in the cold pool to finish up in the hot tub. Anything like that in the evening, dude, it just knocks you out. But I like this idea of a sauna suit in the afternoon, and then you do like deep nasal breathing or some kind of hypoxia as you're doing that.
Yeah, I'll do the deep nasal breathing. I've been combining my altitude work with strength training to where I'll either wear, I have a hypoxico altitude simulator, so I'll wear that while doing strength training, or if I'm really going to push myself and I need maximum effort, I know I'm not going to get that at 12,500 feet elevation, so I'll lift at regular oxygen, and then in between sets or after my lifting session, I'll do 6 minutes on, 4 minutes off. With just breathing, nasal breathing into the oxygen or low oxygen machine.
So this hypoxia is, or hypoxico, it's not like, for those of you listening in, like a training mask, which is just something that creates a breath resistance to strengthen, for example, your inspiratory and your expiratory muscles. The hypoxico actually strips oxygen out of the air and causes you to need to be or simulates 18,000, 20,000 feet, whatever you put it at. And you're not exercising with that. You're just sitting there like reading a magazine or whatever.
I'll do both. So sometimes I know if I'm doing a higher rep range, I can get away with it. So if I have lower weight, like, and this is, everything's relative. So lower weight for me on squat will be, back squat would be like 315 or 365. If I'm hitting anything in the 5 to 8 rep range, I know I can get away with that at altitude. Whereas if I want to get into some, really heavy, triples and doubles and singles and things like that, I'll want to do that without the mask and then go ahead and use the mask afterwards to go ahead and get into that.
The hypoxico mask?
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
So I'll turn the machine
on.
Isn't
it attached to like a long tube? So you're walking around like with the tube attached to the unit?
And I have a home box set up from Rogue, so I can get that going in my house. It's kind of a pain in the ass to lug that thing around. I used to take that to
the gym. What do you mean a home box set up?
Well, you know, you just go on a website, you order a squat rack, you get your weights, your kettlebells, that kind of stuff. I've got 320 pounds in bumper plates, another 2.25 in iron. So I can go up to 560 pounds, you know, which would be pretty much a PR deadlift for me. I'm not really going to tap myself out like that with an altitude machine going at the same time. But that's where I'm kind of playing with the differences, you know. When I need to go really hard, I'll do that without the mask and just use the altitude simulator afterwards so I can still get that response.
And you find you're still able to lift pretty well with a mask attached to your face and a tube.
Yeah,
on the higher
reps, it's not a problem. And these are things, it's not dynamic. You know, powerlifting is squat, bench, and deadlift, so it's really not getting
in
the way.
Yeah, I guess you're not
really
doing like burpees or something like
that. Yeah, I couldn't do barbell snatch with that thing in the way or anything like that.
And this is a little bit different than the unit that you and I worked out on yesterday. We hit the paddleboard in the Spokane River, and then we came back and we were going to a party last night, and we actually wanted to kind of wake our brains up. And this is actually a tactic you can use as like a cup of coffee for the brain with no actual stimulants, and it's hyperoxia. This is so the hypoxico that you were just talking about, Kyle, that will simulate altitude. I actually have one of those in the treadmill. So I have an incline treadmill in my garage. And when I'm getting ready for the last couple of months before I'm getting ready for the Tahoe World Championships for Spartan this year, I'll walk on that treadmill at about a 40% incline with a hypoxico mask set on a relatively high altitude. So you're walking with the mask on. But last night, what we're using was this different unit. And this is a relatively new kind of addition to my home protocol. It's called a Live O2. And you got to experience this, Kyle. But what it does is it allows you to restrict oxygen. Right. So for example, what we did yesterday was you warm up for about 6 to 8 minutes with restricted oxygen, and then you flip it from hypoxia into hyperoxia. And you'll do like a 15-second sprint with hypoxia and then a 15-second sprint with hyperoxia. It feels pretty cool when that full blast of oxygen hits your face, though.
I wasn't sure. I saw this thing at Paleo FX with you, and having it here, I was like, I'll definitely give it a try now. And I thought you were going to put me through another torture technique, like when we were doing your Spartan obstacle course. Yeah, I thought I was going to get waxed before we went out drinking and having wine and things like that. So I really wanted to take it easy, but I thought I'd at least give it a shot. And that first breath of hyperoxia goes in through the nose, and you feel it through your entire body immediately.
Yeah.
I mean, 15-second sprint as hard as you can in hypoxia, and you feel like you can't go another second. Flip the switch, and then you can go that last 15 as hard as you can.
It's amazing. It's like lifeblood hits your face. Yeah. So for any of you who haven't tried this before, I'll put a link to it in the show notes. But it's called a Live O2 machine. It's not cheap. It's like a $5,000-$6,000 thing that you know, you saw. It's right there in the office next to us. Because by the way, if you guys haven't guessed yet, we're outdoors. If you haven't heard the birds singing out in my patio, podcasting right now. But this Live O2 is in my office, and it's this giant bag, right? So we flipped it on like an hour before we got in. So the whole bag sucks all the oxygen out of the atmosphere in the room, concentrates the oxygen, then you just breathe pure oxygen whenever you hit the plus button on the little remote that you hold while you're doing the workout.
So. I want to comment on that, the cost. So when I was, I read Beyond Training. It's a phenomenal book, one of my favorites.
Yeah, and I wrote
You wrote that book.
Yeah, I wrote that book.
So I was reading the Amazon reviews. There were some one-star reviews, and you know why. It was the recommendation of very expensive tools like a hypoxico or a Live O2 machine. And the thing is, I look at you as like my consumer report for body enhancing electronics, right?
Right.
And there are tools that you can do without any of this stuff. Like you reviewed the Oxygen Advantage, phenomenal book. They talk about breath holds, things like that, that'll improve CO2 retention and things like that. So you're still going to train some of the same responses without having to spend a penny. And it's important to have all these different avenues that you can trickle in. So if you don't have these machines, you can still get these effects for the body.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, part of it too is, and you've been out here, it's not about just having fancy electronic equipment that you hook yourself up to and exercise with to cheat yourself out of ever having to put in the hard work, right? Like, I'm a big fan of putting the hard work into the body and then using a lot of this stuff as icing on the cake or as a way to engage in better living through science, to feel better or to enhance oxygen delivery or to improve longevity. But I mean, you see it. You see how it is out here. Like, we work hard, too. You know, we climb ropes, we jump over walls, and we carry sandbags. So I think a little bit of both. And, you know, sandbags aren't quite as expensive as oxygen
concentrators. Yeah, not at all. But yeah. You can, it's something that I've kind of gravitated towards since retiring is, what is the minimum effective dose? And you can get so much out of, you know, hold breath retention while you're working out, things like that.
A sauna suit and a breath walk in Las Vegas. Sauna suit,
things like that. Yeah, there's a lot that can be gained from things like that. My resting heart rate has dropped 10 beats per minute. You know, I have one of these Aura rings that you turn me on to, and obviously that's not a cheap purchase either when you're comparing it to a Fitbit or a Jawbone and things like that. But I've owned those products, and they don't work nearly as well. They're not going to tell you REM sleep, deep sleep, and things like that. They tell you when you move in the night.
Exactly.
Or if your wife moved.
They also
They'll tell you if your wife moved.
They also emit a Bluetooth signal. You know, every 1 to 3 seconds, you get a class one Bluetooth signal blasted out by those devices and search for a device like an iPhone to talk to. So you're just constantly irradiating your body. That's why I like this ring, too, is you can put it in airplane mode and it doesn't transmit a signal.
It's an easy way to fine tune and kind of know it for... You know, coming from fighting and especially training at American Kickboxing Academy, there is a culture of push harder. You know, like, you get hurt, throw some dirt on it, pussy, that kind of thing. And you're not really taught to listen and pay attention to your body. So having something like this.
You mean like yesterday on the obstacle course when you were walking up the hill and you were fried and done and I told you to keep going and you listened to your body and quit?
I was like, no, dude, I'm done. No mas. Ugh, that was it. I had to tap out after one round.
Yeah, the thing is that you've got a lot more muscle than I do to carry and cool with your training regimen.
I felt that on the rope climb.
Yeah,
because on the descent of the rope climb, I went to failure. So about halfway down, going nice and slow and controlled, I ended up getting a nice little rope burn there, trying to really slow myself down and the group failing, but it was awesome.
Yeah, and by the way, for those of you listening in, that we put a Manuka essential oil on it. For those of you who haven't tapped into Manuka honey or Manuka essential oil, any topical wound or scar like that, dude, I have that stuff out on the counter right now for the barbed wire wound on my back from that Spartan race last weekend, but that heals stuff up like Wolverine. It's crazy. Like, so Manuka honey works well, but if you can get the actual oil like we were using, that's like pounds and pounds of Manuka oil just steam distilled in one tiny little bottle.
Yeah, and that's not going to break the wallet or break the bank.
Nah, that's only like $7,000. It's
easy buy.
So when you're doing these hormetic stressors, right, like restricting oxygen, for example, with this hypoxic approach that you have while you're weightlifting, or you are wearing a sauna suit, have you found that works well when you're combining it with other strategies, like combining a hormetic stressor with fasting, or using some kind of supplement, or are you doing hot cold immersion, or like what kind of other things are you doing to go along with some of these unconventional hormetic stressors you're using?
Well, here's something I wanted to pick your brain about, because when I went to XPT, and I know that you've been a part of that, I went down in Malibu. They do their cold first thing in the morning on an empty
XPT,
stomach.
XPT, to clarify that, that's the performance breath work. Well, what's XPT stand for again? I forget. It's Brian McKenzie.
It's Laird Hamilton, Gabby Reese.
Yeah, you
Kelly
do like
Sturette's
underwater
there,
breathing, Dr. mobility Andy work, and
yeah, they're doing. They're combining basically everything you could think of in terms of boosting the body in unconventional ways.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm actually going to be doing a clinic with them in Kauai this December. I'll put a link in the show notes at bengreenfieldfitness.com/Kyle. If any of you want to go to that, and you yourself can freeze and almost pass out in water,
One of the things I learned from them was, because I was doing the Wim Hof method, and I would jump. You have to create space. You know, if you think of these things like an altitude training, that's a workout. Even if I'm sitting on my ass watching TV or reading a book, that is a workout, and it's taxing on the body. So if I'm going to do cold therapy and it's only a 5-minute session, I need to give that space prior to my next workout. I can't just jump in the car and go to jiu-jitsu. And I learned that the hard way. I showed up to a jiu-jitsu class and it felt like I had been training for 3 hours just from that 5-minute ice bath once I got on the mat. Like everything was tapped out. ATP stores were all gone. And so when I was at XPT, I noticed that they would do this.
They weren't, I should clarify, they weren't all gone. You just had so much vasoconstriction going on that you couldn't access them.
There we go.
Lack of blood flow.
Yeah, lack of blood flow. Body was taxed. So when I go to XPT, I see they do this first thing in the morning, or they'll do it right after some of their underwater training with the breath holds and things like that. And then there's maybe a 2-hour gap with some smoothies, some really high profile, you know, turmeric tea, things like that. They're going to help the body, and some breath work. So you're able to recharge the system and then give it space. And then you can go into a hard workout a couple hours later. So learning that was a big deal for me. But then also this idea that we had talked about where there are certain things that you take that are good for you, like high dose vitamin C, things like that. But if you were to take them prior to a workout, they would minimize the training effect. And so after workout, right? So giving it that space, because these things are good for you, your body does want them, and they help you with recovery, but timing of things like that, right? So also timing of your cold bath, because if you're to jump into an ice bath right after really heavy strength training, you might minimize some of the inflammatory response that's going to be helping you to gain more muscle and more strength.
And I think it depends too. And the reason that I say that is this morning, for example, you and I did a workout. We followed up that workout with cold water and hypoxia in my cold pool back there. And then we came inside and we had a smoothie. And a lot of the ingredients of that smoothie, you know, like I just mentioned when we were talking, you know, there was ascorbic acid and, you know, an antioxidant from the lemon. And we had turmeric, another antioxidant. And people would say, oh, you're blunting the hormetic effects of that training session. The way that I view things is if I do a training session that has a ton of breath work, right, which is going to create a lot of potential for oxidation or the need for your body to learn how to bounce back without having exogenous antioxidants or things that are going to blunt that hormetic response into the body, I won't do something like that afterwards. But for me, what that would mean is 45 minutes of hypoxic underwater swimming, right? Like a real true breathwork session. Or like this morning, what we did, I classify that as primarily a mobility session. There wasn't a lot of eccentric muscle tissue damage. There wasn't a huge metabolic load like there was when we were doing the obstacle course yesterday. And so the type of meal that I'll choose after that, or the type of like cold water immersion or something like that, is far different than like a very hard workout where sometimes just to get the body core temperature down, I'll jump in and out of the cold pool very quickly. I won't do a longer, like 5 to 10 minute soak like we did this morning. And then afterwards, I'll make a smoothie, but it won't have the vitamin C and the turmeric and the extra antioxidants in it. So you kind of step back and you look at your training session, how much eccentric muscle tissue damage occurred, how much hypoxia was there, how long was it? And if it really is one of those brutal sessions that beats you up, that's where you can actually wait a little while to shove all the antioxidants and the cold baths and all these other things into your system, which sounds counterintuitive, but in fact, you're giving your body its own chance to heal. And then a few hours later, that's when you start to pull out the stops after your body has had a chance to upregulate its own stress response.
Yeah. And even if you look at, you know, the cold we did was, 60, 70 degrees.
Yeah. This morning was not that cold.
It wasn't freezing temperature. The vitamin C content in a lemon is still highly bioavailable and very good for you, but it's not like taking a gram of vitamin C, that kind of thing, right?
Exactly. We weren't doing like a bunch of liposomal.
It's not overkill.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly. So you've got stressors like that. Now, how about from a dietary standpoint? I know that you have certain things that you do in terms of like fasting and ketosis, and obviously I don't want to insult people's intelligence by explaining what intermittent fasting or ketosis is, but at the same time, for example, you mentioned the microbiome to me and how you've discovered some things when it comes to ketosis, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the microbiome. Have you found certain things have happened to your body?
I've been working with Dr. Grace Liu, who started the Gut Institute in Dublin, California.
Grace Liu.
Yeah.
LIU. She's actually very good.
Yeah. She's a speaker at PaleoFX. Phenomenal lady. She's been helping my wife and I. But one of the things we noticed from staying strict low carb, like, you know, 40 to 50 grams a day for an extended period of time. And I saw this in, you know, getting a poop test done, looking at, you know, the balance of microflora, and it shifted over time. I would notice that if I stayed in ketosis, strict ketosis, that is, not low carb, but actually in ketosis for longer than 4 months, that I would see a dramatic change in the amount of fat-burning bacteria versus the fiber-eating good guys that we tend to know and love. So if we take a probiotic, a lot of those guys are going to really thrive on a high fiber, high plant-based diet. And those are the things they want to chew and break down and create butyrate and these good short chain fatty acids, right? They're also our protectors. They help balance the microbiome. They make sure that candida is under wraps, things like that. So by staying in this long-term ketogenic state in preparation for my first and possibly only 50K ultra that I did. I had like 90% fat burners, and I didn't realize this, but I had candida and parasites already, possibly picked up on a tour for the troops, you know, way back in the day. Never really noticed it. Obviously, when you're low carb, you're not feeding those guys, so they stay dormant. They go into hibernation. And then after the race, being extremely broken down and quite dehydrated over the course of 10 hours, we saw just everything exacerbated. You know, all these problems came up. I went from training two or three times a day to only being able to train twice a week. Kept getting a common cold, no matter how little I was training. And she just said, "Hey, man, I think you got parasites."
Now, she did like a stool test for this?
Yeah, we did a comprehensive stool analysis from Great Plains Labs.
Yeah.
And I was...
Is that the one where you poop into the hot dog tray for like 3 days in a row?
Yeah, 3 days in a row, hot dog tray. You got to scoop your own poop. It was probably the nastiest thing ever. And but, you know, all in the name of science and understanding what's going on.
You just don't want to eat breakfast like an hour afterwards. that scent is still wafting in your nostrils, and you're still checking your hands in a very paranoia-like fashion to see if there's any
even when you wear the plastic gloves. You got plastic gloves on, but it's a big difference between having... If you've ever pooped and you leave, they have a name for it. It's called the iceberg. When the top of your poop still comes out of the water...
Oh, that's me like every morning.
Yeah, so you smell that and you're like, "Oh man, you know, sometimes it's not that bad, sometimes
that's
bad."
That's the best dump is when it's big enough to where it's no longer submerged.
But when you shit in a tray, all of that's out in the open. It doesn't matter if you have the fan on, doesn't matter if you have incense burning.
Yeah, you're breathing
it's a different
particles.
Yeah, it's a different deal.
Yeah.
But the test showed that I had the highest level of parasites on the test possible and the highest level of candida possible.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I was pretty proud of myself, especially considering how we eat organic and how much I've really trying to take a dive into
parasites
my diet,
organic like that. After all,
I was like, man, how did this happen? And you know, one of the things that led to that was asking me about all the countries I've been in, and I've been in quite a few suspect countries doing goodwill tours for the troops. Ironically, it probably happened in Djibouti, Africa. So I got parasites in Djibouti. Is pretty much where I nailed it down, because that was the only place where we got off base and had
in Djibouti.
Water. Yeah, I got parasites in Djibouti.
Interesting.
So it's taken about a year to work through that.
Now, returning back to what you're talking about, though, but before I hear, because I'm curious, you know, even though some parasites can actually be beneficial for the body, in many cases, like an opportunistic parasite like that, you want to get rid of. I've come back from Thailand with those things, and it's nasty. You're up like clockwork every 2 weeks as they lay their eggs, and your stomach feels horrible. It's, for anybody who hasn't had a parasite, it's not fun. But you were talking about your bacterial ratio. Now, are you referring to like the Firmisuit bacterioid ratio?
Yep.
Like what you can get tested with the American Gut Project, that type of thing?
Yeah. And UBiome is a company out of San Francisco. I think you just did one with Viome out of Seattle. I think that might be a little bit more comprehensive. But
Viome is a newer one. And there's some other companies popping up that are doing... So the way I like to think about it is you can test, let's say, how much fruit versus how many vegetables that you have in your digestive tract via something like UBiome or the American Gut Project, and look at your Firmisuit bacterioid ratio. Or you could look at the amount of apples, oranges, pears, bananas, blueberries, cherries, etc., and the amount of parsnips, kale, you know, arugula, cucumber, carrots, green beans, and so it's breaking down these bacteria into extremely precise ratios and identifying every single one as far as what that's worth from a diagnostic standpoint or what it's going to tell you about your body. I'm still trying to wrap my head around that. Like, I have all my Viome results, and I'm waiting for their scientists to go over them with me, because to have that comprehensive of a look at my biome, I almost don't know what to do with it. There's so much data.
Yeah, it's, and a lot of this is new too, right? Yeah. So we're figuring this out on the fly. One of the things that we kind of came to the conclusion of was I needed more fiber. I needed to not think of things like, in talking with the guy that you just went down and recorded with, Darren Olean, the superfood hunter.
Mm-hmm.
There are foods on this planet that are so good for you that you really shouldn't be looking at the macros with. And if it means going over 50 grams of carbs, who cares? You know, so one of those being sprouted seeds, sprouted pumpkins, sprouted sunflower seeds. They have a micronutrient profile that's unheard of. They're also high in fiber, high in protein, and high in really good fat. But if I'm trying to minimize and really lock in that under 50 grams so I get into this ketogenic state, I might miss out on that. Well, it's kind of like
you're missing out on the nutrient density. You're missing out on the prebiotics.
Yeah.
You can turn your gut into a veritable wasteland if you're not careful. That's even related to an article I wrote recently that I've been having to revisit a lot lately on coconut oil because of the recent controversy over coconut oil. My article on coconut oil had nothing to do with the heart disease factor, but instead the fact that coconut oil is inflammatory to the gut. And saturated fat in general is inflammatory to the gut when consumed in the absence of adequate amounts of fiber. And that's why a lot of people who do like the high fat diet coconut oil.
So waking up throwing butter, a half a stick of Kerrygold butter and a mountain of MCT or coconut oil,
yeah,
probably isn't ancestral. That's probably not how our predecessors lived and woke up each day.
It's not such a great idea. Now, granted, when we made the smoothie this morning, and those of you who watched the video will see me say this, I used to go out to that garden that's back behind us right now, Kyle, in the morning before I did exactly what you just saw me do in the kitchen, and I'd be out there tooling around the garden for a good 5 minutes picking some kale, some lettuce, some bok choy, some parsnip, cilantro. I'd go out and harvest some wild mint. I'd do a nettle. And I'd find all these various plant-based superfoods. But the problem is that when you add all of those to a morning smoothie, I will drink my smoothie and then I'll work like a dog until like 2 or 3 p.m. and just not stop, you know, doing emails and consults and podcasts, etc. But the problem is you got to take a huge dump at about noon when you put that many plants in your morning smoothie. And so I've kind of I do a lot more plants with dinner now and even with lunch than I do with breakfast. You saw me, you know, it was just like a handful of arugula in the smoothie that we had this morning because, yeah, I mean, there can be a law of diminishing return with the bulk. But at the same time, yeah, you definitely want to. And we, of course, had fiber from the cacao nibs and
tons
the coconut
of fiber
flakes,
and the coconut
and it's
flakes,
not like
yeah,
it was a fiber deficient smoothie. But yeah, that is a huge error that you see a lot of people make is they'll switch to a ketotic based diet, but it's a low fiber ketotic based diet. And probably I would say, and I don't know if you're aware of these resources, two of the best resources that I'm aware of out there for a fiber rich ketogenic diet, or at least a fiber-rich diet that controls blood sugar levels by not introducing high amounts of carbohydrates, because I'm not necessarily sold on ketosis as the solution as much as controlling blood sugar fluctuations and controlling long-term blood sugar elevation. That appears to be a better predictor of longevity and health than whether or not you're producing a lot of ketones. The two resources are the Walls Protocol by Dr. Terry Walls, and the book The Plant Paradox by Dr. Stephen Gundry, and specifically the ketogenic portion of that book, The Plant Paradox. Both of those, in my opinion, are perfect examples if you're listening and you wanted to see what a fiber-rich, low-carbohydrate diet actually looks like. Those are really good examples of how to do it and how to do it right.
Yeah, and I'm by no means saying, I mean, when I was on Rogan's, I pretty much put the ketogenic diet on a pedestal. I think there is very specific uses for it as a tool. You know, obviously it was created for kids with epilepsy and things like that. If you are obese and you really need to drop pounds quickly to save your life, there's a lot of efficacy there for that. But unless you're an Inuit or an Eskimo, chances are you're not eating 80% fat in your diet year round or 10 months out of the year, at least. It's you have to think about where your ancestors come from. Looking at, you know, Weston A. Price and his work traveling the globe and understanding, you know, different indigenous tribes and people that lived in different parts, whether you were closer to the equator, you had access to more fruits and vegetables, smaller game, yeah, fish and fowl, that kind of thing. You get up towards the poles, you're going to eat bigger game, probably do better with red meat and lower carb diets. Most of my ancestors are from Northern England, Northern Europe, so odds are that I can do better with less fruit. Doesn't mean I'm going to go off the wagon and have a ton of carbs now, but I don't necessarily need to be under 50 grams a day to be a healthy person.
Yeah, and granted, playing devil's advocate, because I'm not quite sure of this, while the Inuit and the Eskimos do show absence of large amounts of obesity while consuming an extremely, you know, high blubber-rich diet, I'm actually not sure what their microbiome looks like. I'm not sure what their rates of colon cancer are like. I'm not really sure what their rates of gut issues are like. So I don't know if they actually do have some fiber deficient type of gut issues based on their diet. I actually don't know. Maybe if you pipe in on the comments section and let us know, you could clarify on what their guts look like.
All right, folks. Well, cold turkey might be great on sandwiches, but there's a better way to break a bad habit than quitting that bad habit, cold turkey. I'm not talking about some weird mind voodoo from your crazy neighbor standing on a nail bed or something like that. I'm talking about this thing called Fume. This little thing called Fume holds a hallowed place in my fanny pack, actually. Been hitting up the maple pepper core in that thing quite a bit. So anyways, the Fume is not a vape. It's a flavored air device. You breathe natural flavors through it. Like I said, I got the maple pepper core loaded up in mine right now. Turns out black pepper really hits the spot, so I can feel satisfied without breathing in or chewing on anything bad. It's amazing. I've got another one called the crisp mint core, so I can breathe in mint flavored air rather than a pen infused with something else. You know what I mean? That kind of bad habit that isn't good for you. Instead, you just basically use this pen, and it is an essential oil pen. It's amazing. A flavored air device. You get the taste sensation and the fidget and that hand-to-mouth action, but you don't have to feel guilty about the habit. It's a good habit to have. They have a whole bunch of natural, delicious flavors. It's not a vape. Don't get me wrong. It's a natural air device. It's fully legal. It doesn't have anything bad in it. I even use it on an airplane. I get a few funny looks with people who think I'm vaping on an airplane, even though I'm not. It's just basically flavored air, and it tastes great. I found it made my cravings go out the window. It's weird. It's a crazy life hack, but it works, and it's super sexy and cool looking too. So it's called Fume, F-U-M. You can get 10% off this thing if you go to tryfume.com, tryfume.com, use code BEN to save 10%. So you can accelerate humanity's breakup from destructive habits by picking up what's called their Journey Pack today. It has a whole bunch of cool flavors, including that crisp mint core and the maple pepper core, two of my favorites. So again, tryfume.com/BEN and use code BEN to save 10% off your order from Fume, F-U-M. All right, folks, you may have heard the recent podcast episode I recorded with this cat who designed a drink. His name is Zach Abbott. He designed a drink that you throw back. It's a little shot, and it digests the toxic byproducts of alcohol for you, meaning that you feel great the next day after you've been drinking. And while I only endorse holiday responsible drinking and responsible drinking in general, it is nice to know you can maybe sneak in an extra cocktail or a glass of wine just because that holiday party is so freaking long and there's nothing to do but drink. So you throw back a shot of this stuff and it basically digests acetaldehyde for you, which is the chemical unwanted byproduct of alcohol. And so what they've done is they've bioengineered this probiotic to do that for you. And it works amazingly. You feel great the next day. It's very, very simple. You get a box of this stuff. You throw back a shot of it before you drink. Or if you forget, sometimes people are forgetful and you remember halfway through the party, you just throw it back then. And here's the deal. They've got steep discounts going on. You go to ZBiotics, called ZBiotics, if you're in Europe, ZBiotics.com/Ben. ZBiotics.com/Ben. You get 15% off your first order when you use code Ben at checkout. 100% money back guarantee. So if you're unsatisfied for any reason because you had 8 glasses of wine, you woke up the next morning and you weren't feeling that great, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. But please don't have 8 glasses of wine. So you go to ZBiotics.com/Ben. Use code Ben at checkout for 15% off. You got to try this stuff. Everybody I've told about ZBiotics, they have literally come back and said, dude, I had no clue. I was skeptical at first. I was skeptical myself, but it actually works. Very interesting. So zbiotics.com/Ben. Well, folks, you and I, or the average American at least, spend an average of 90% of time indoors, breathing around 30,000 gallons of air daily. According to the EPA, indoor air can be 2 to 5 times more polluted than outdoor air, and in some cases, 100 times more polluted, especially like your home gym where you're breathing in even more air. This can be a serious issue. Data shows that air pollution is responsible for nearly 7 million premature deaths around the world. So you need air purifying technology, and the one that I like as a standalone system that doesn't require you to go re-outfit your entire home's AC system or ducts is called the Air Doctor. The Air Doctor filters out dangerous contaminants and allergens like pollen, pet dander, dust mites, and mold, so your lungs don't need to. Their Ultra HEPA filter has been independently tested to remove 99.99% of tested bacteria and viruses and virtually 100% of particles as small as 0.003 microns. They also feature whisper jet fans, 30% quieter than normal ordinary air purifiers, and they are extremely affordable and accessible. Furthermore, they're going to give you up to 39% off of one of their extremely impressive and efficacious air filters, or up to $300 off today. Here's how you lock this in. You go to airdoctorpro.com/BenG. You can get one with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund, minus shipping, but you're going to love it. AirDoctorPro.com/BenG. You'll get up to 39% off or up to $300 off. So lock it in today, folks. You'll enjoy it. Clean air is something everybody deserves. You can get it with the Air Doctor.
I wanted to close the loop on that parasite thing, though. What did you wind up doing as far as the parasites are concerned?
I've been working with Grace for about a year now, and we've been having a different rotation of dietary stuff. We went through GAPS diet for a little bit. Dr. Natasha Campbell McBride out of the UK wrote that one. It's a fantastic book. A lot of healing, you know, with that. Tons of bone broth, collagen hydrosylate, things like that to heal the intestinal wall, make sure that there's no leaky gut syndrome going on. Reintroduction of different probiotics systemically, building the microbiome back while taking a lot of things that would wipe out things. If I can break that down a little bit, wormwood, black walnut, and what's the other one? Wormwood, black walnut, and there was...
It's like a allicin, like a garlic extract?
Yeah, allicin, but then... even things like oil of oregano, which is fantastic if your immune system's down. But if you were to take that for a long period of time, that actually kills everything. That'll kill the good guys and the bad guys.
Oregano?
Yeah. So understanding, like, if we take some of these harder
in high
things,
doses, yeah.
Yeah, high doses for an extended period of time, you have to understand why you use it and when you use it, and then really regulate, like, a rotation of things. Like, okay, I'm going to wipe these guys out for a couple weeks, but then give my body a break, rebuild the microbiome so I'm making sure that I balance back the good microflora, making sure that I'm feeding those guys, and then kind of rotate things back and forth, on and off.
Rotation is incredibly important. Rotation from a seasonal standpoint, right? And, and if you look at Ayurvedic medicine or the different doshas or body types, or even a lot of Native American diets, there is a lot of dietary rotation based on seasonal availability. And of course, that's important due to the facts, a variety of factors. You know, you are more sensitive to carbohydrate and insulin fluctuations in the absence of sunlight versus the presence of sunlight. And so higher amounts of fruit and carbohydrates in the summer can actually be okay. Or another example would be that your gut responds very good to, like, warm, kind of like rich, spicier foods in the winter, you know, like hot foods, whereas hot foods in the summer can actually aggravate and create too much. I think it would be called in Ayurvedic typing, like, too much pitta, I believe. There's probably somebody just, like, wanting to jump through the podcast and throttle me right now.
He's going to jump out of Lotus.
My doctor now, my local physician here in Spokane, is an Eastern medicine practitioner, and that guy's level, his body of knowledge is just, it's through the roof. And I know we've got some listeners who are very into this as well, but bear with me here. In addition to that, what you're talking about is the importance of kind of like both herbal variety and then also, I would even say, nutrient and caloric variety, right? So having your body go through phases or periods that you see a lot of religions implement, fasting. You know, I see my dad, he follows Eastern Orthodoxy in a very religious way. And you'll see him, and there are certain times of the year where he's like, yeah, I'm just not, you know, I haven't had meat in like 2 weeks. I won't be eating meat for another, you know, week and a half or so. Well, that might seem strange if you look at things from a longevity standpoint, right? Like the Mediterranean diet and longevity, one of the things that we fail to take into account is that they fast a lot. They have certain periods of the time where they engage in meat restriction. There are certain periods of time where there are 24-hour fasts, right? Like Saturday dinner to Sunday dinner. And so while those are not things that people are necessarily doing every day, right? It seems like in America, we're like, oh, I'm going to go pure vegan, or I'm going to be a pure omnivore, or I'm going to do a 16-hour fast every day, no matter what. Damn it, 365 days a year versus I'm going to have these 2 weeks where, you know, I'm working two 24-hour fasts and a 16-hour fast every day, you know. So rotation and variety versus just pure dogmatism in diet, I think, is really important, you know, and especially as you went through with your parasite and with your gut issues, you can fix things and then go back to perhaps not using as high an herbal protocol. You don't have to be on your wormwood for life type of protocol, right?
Correct. And going back to what you're saying about rotation and kind of not being dogmatic. I mean, if you decide I want to try intermittent fasting, you don't have to decide that the way I decided to go into ketosis. You can say, let me work this in. So one of the things I've been playing with is if I do two really hard lower body lifts a week, odds are I'm going to wake up very hungry the next day, the day after that lift, because my body is demanding of calories, protein, and nutrients to recover from that. So I will eat breakfast, the day after one of the, you know, if I say I have a really heavy squat session Monday with some altitude training and possibly even a nose breathing heat shock protein walk in the sun, when I wake up, I'm going to need to eat, and that's fine. Listen to my body, have breakfast, lunch, and dinner that day, and then as I feel fine going to bed that night, maybe the next day I'll do a 16-hour fast, and the day after that I'll crunch that to a 20-hour fast, water only, maybe some black coffee, a cup or two in the morning, and be fine. But really working that in so that it is something cyclical, but it's also something that I can still pay attention to my body and have some leeway when I need more calories. I follow my body and do that.
Yeah, and when you're talking about quantifying like that, and well, not quantifying, but more like listening to your body, are you using technology much? Like you mentioned the Oura Ring. I'm curious, for a guy like you who played football and then competed at a high level in the MMA, who's very dialed into biohacking and fitness now and who studies a lot of these things, and you yourself, I know, are launching a podcast as well where you're interviewing a lot of folks in this sector, and I'll link to that in the show notes over at bengreenfieldfitness.com/Kyle for those of you listening in. What are you doing as far as technology is concerned? I mean, aside from walking around with a mask on your face while you're powerlifting, especially when it comes to like either self-quantification or other ways that you are either enhancing recovery or learning more about your body?
Well, the Oura Ring really has been the best piece of equipment that I've purchased, and it's not cheap. It's not going to break the bank, but it's definitely not cheap. It's $300. But if you talk about some of these other things, like I had a Withings watch, a Jawbone, all these other things, they're not going to break down information the same way that the Oura Ring does. And they are constantly improving things. So one of the complaints that I had when I was talking to their one of the guys that works for them was that if I had a heavy powerlifting session, and I mentioned this to my strength coach, Jesse Burdick, because he was like, man, should I get it? And I was like, well, I don't know. Let's hold off for a second. If I did a max effort deadlift day, because my heart rate's not jumping through the roof and I have a lot of time in between sets, it would look like I was going for a walk in the park. So literally a slow jog would show more work output. Now they've added in this ability to put an activity in, right, which will change it.
Press a little plus button and add in, describe what you've done.
Yeah. And the whole reason why I kept with it through that was because sleep. Sleep was the number one thing when it comes down to recovery and how I'm breaking down things. And it didn't matter what it showed for my activity level that day, because how I slept that night was telling me how hard I had worked that day. So a max effort deadlift day is obviously going to take its toll on the body and the central nervous system. Heart rate variability is going to drop. I might get my lowest resting heart rate much later in the night as I'm recovering and things like that. Body temperature might be elevated throughout the night. All these things are mapped and broken down onto
I've found the complete opposite to be the case. I actually just this morning, I don't know if you've seen it yet, I released a video on my website where I used the new dashboard that these folks at Oura, and by the way, I'm this podcast isn't sponsored by Oura. I'm not sponsored by Oura. I don't think you have a financial
same here. No,
tie
no financial
ties. I just like to use it. But the idea, although if you buy it using my discount code, I get like a referral kickback or whatever, you know, as an affiliate. But other than that, the thing that I released this morning was their new cloud dashboard that lets you pull up anything. Let's say your body temperature, your heart rate variability, your level of activity, and the level of, let's say, deep sleep that you acquired during the night. And you can compare and contrast all these variables. And what I found quite interestingly was a direct correlation between the amount of high-intensity physical activity that I accomplished each day, the drop in heart rate variability that occurred because of that, and an actual significant increase in my level of deep sleep. Hmm. Meaning on any day where I beat myself up really hard, my sleep doesn't suffer. It actually gets better and deeper, which I guess makes sense to a certain extent. And I suppose there'd be a law of diminishing returns, right? Because I remember when I'd race Ironman triathlons, maybe part of this was due to all the sugar and caffeine I'd consume, you know, before I got into doing them in ketosis. But I would have to take Valium to go to bed at night after racing for 12 hours. You'd think I'd just pass out, but you're so amped up, you can't even.
Yeah, you can't turn it off.
Yeah, yeah, at all. So it's interesting, but I've actually found a correlation between how hard I've worked and how good my sleep is. So you use this sleep self-quantification. Any other pieces of technology that you use to
enhanced life. I mean, I know yesterday you had the at my breakfast table, you had photobiomodulation, you had in-ear light therapy.
See, I wanted to test that stuff out. Well, like I said, you're my consumer electronics reports for anything biohacking.
I can put a photo in the show notes of you guys, but Kyle is literally, I think you had three different pieces of high-end technology attached to your head all at once before breakfast yesterday.
The only thing I didn't get was the ball zapper.
Right. We still have to try the ball zapper. Actually, I don't own one of those. You mean the Gainswave device?
Yeah.
No, I want, that's like a $40,000 ball zapper. Anyways, though, so any other pieces of technology that you use or that you're into from like a biohacking standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, the Hypoxico machine was a big investment. Obviously, it's in the thousands, but my wife and I both use that. We get a lot from it. You know, as I've said, I retired 3 years ago from fighting, and I really didn't want to push myself the way that I used to. It just,
and you're not going to fight again. That's not,
yeah. I don't want to fight again. I don't want to get hit in the head anymore. It's something where I really do like this idea of minimum effective dose, because I've spent so many years training that hard, and I don't enjoy that. I enjoy picking up something heavy off the ground. I enjoy going for a smooth nose breathing run. I enjoy walking in extreme heat or meditating in a really, you know, freezing temperature cold bath, because I've adjusted to those things. But they're low impact, they're not hard on the body, and I'm not wiped out, so I can still play with my 2-year-old boy and be a dad. You know, I don't want to beat myself up to the point where I can't have sex with my wife for 2 days because I'm that run down and my body feels destroyed.
Right, right. And your formicobacteroid ratio is so messed up that nobody would want to have sex with you anyways.
Yeah, they could smell it. My pheromones, the pheromones coming off of me would be all bad.
We were having that discussion last night, complete segue, about pheromones and about how women on the pill tend to choose partners who are incompatible with them. And it was a fascinating discussion we were having. I don't think you were part of it, but that's a chat for another day, I think. A few of the things I wanted to talk to you about, though, you're mentioning sleep. And something you talked to me very briefly about was how you're doing caffeine rotation for your adrenals. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so one of the issues we had by doing this bulletproof style coffee for so long, and really that was breakfast every day for years, whether I was in ketosis or not, that was still my breakfast. And just understanding, you know, this worked up. So mentioning that I have a 2-year-old son, when my wife went off coffee being pregnant, I still made a full pot every day, and I would drink the entire pot. This was a light roast, so much higher in caffeine, and that's what I got adjusted to. So we would split, you know, once she was able to have coffee again, we would split that pot, which is still...
The lighter roasts are the ones that are higher in the caffeine.
Exactly, and so we would split
and
that.
And lower in the antioxidants.
Lower in antioxidants. Yeah. So yeah, it was a real issue, just in terms of necessity. You know, when it starts to be something where, oh God, I have to have my coffee, you're no longer using it to go up. You're using it to get normal. And really understanding that about myself made me want to kind of dial that down so I could feel coffee again and really understand like what I'm using it for. Like, I'll use that on a day where we have a podcast. I'll use it on a day when I have a road trip. I'll use it on a day where I have a really heavy lift or I want to be sharp as a tack, that kind of thing. But if I know I'm going to have a relaxing day and I don't have to do a whole lot, I'll use a tea or something with less caffeine in it. And it's funny because I went for a month without coffee. I switched to yerba mate thinking I was going to drop my caffeine level. And about 3 weeks in, I decided to read some more on yerba mate. Yeah. And I realized the caffeine levels are quite similar to coffee. So I was like, oh, no wonder I didn't get a headache or have any withdrawal symptoms. I just substituted one for another.
The research on this idea behind lower caffeine coffee is actually really compelling, and I recently talked about this on a podcast, how the caffeine content of a beverage or just your caffeine intake in general is correlated to your telomere length, and high amounts of caffeine increase aging, increase the rate at which telomeres lengthen, whereas coffee and some of these caffeine containing beverages, ironically enough, decrease the rate at which your telomeres shorten and have an anti-aging effect. So you're actually best served by choosing very tannic-rich beverages that only have trace amounts of caffeine in them. And that's why I'm actually a fan. You know, you talked about caffeine rotation in that sense. You know, this idea that you have X amount of adenosine receptors in neural tissue, and caffeine will adhere to those receptors. And as more and more caffeine builds up and you need more and more receptors over time for the caffeine to attach to, you also need more and more adenosine in order to feel sleepy. And the best way to decrease the number of adenosine receptors that you're building is to stop caffeine for anywhere from 7 to 12 days. So what I do is I have one bag of, and it's up in the freezer right now. I didn't even tell you this, but that was decaf you drank this morning, by the way. Yeah. So right now I'm on a decaf cycle, right? So all the coffee is decaf, but you get all the antioxidant benefits, you get all the taste benefits, you all get all the, you know, the bowel movement enhancing benefits of coffee without the caffeine when you do that rotational type of setup with your caffeine intake. So that's all I do is for 1 week out of every month or so, I just switch to decaf, and you get a lot of the antioxidants there as well.
That's awesome. And still, it's kind of a brain trick because you still have that flavor of your coffee. It doesn't feel like, I got to suck this tea down now.
Yeah. And the mushrooms. We always have the mushrooms in. So anytime you have coffee at the Greenfield house, there's always a box of the, you know, the Four Sigmatic Chaga, or, you know, today we had the Turkey Tail Maitake 5 mushroom blend from Four Sigmatic. But I'm a fan of putting the mushrooms in the coffee and then typically just a touch of stevia for a little bit of flavor. Could argue I have a morning sweet tooth, perhaps.
It was delicious. No issues there.
Yeah, no issues with the deliciousness. You are also a proponent of meditation.
Big time.
I'm curious what it is that you do with meditation. I know you use like the Brain FM headphone app.
That was a big one for me, and I think that's a big one that I, the reason I talk about that a lot is because I really have come to understand this importance of quieting the mind, especially in the world that we live in, whether you're you have a high profile job or you're in sales. And I saw this firsthand with my father in his stress levels growing up, trying to be the provider for the home, and you know, everything's commission based. There's no salary, 100% commission, so it's all on the sales. And just seeing how stressed out people can be if you don't have an off switch, if you don't even just 5 to 10 minutes, if you don't turn your brain off, you're just going to be running that system into the ground. It'd be the equivalent of trying to work out all day long. You're never really going to get a lot out of your workout. You can't hit a maximal effort if you're just constantly moving. And it's the same thing with the brain. If we, from a performance standpoint, can push pause and give it some space to not think and to rest and relax, it doesn't even have to be a nap. And I'm big on naps too, but that will give so much more power to the brain when we do need to use it for creativity or critical thinking. And it is a booster for the brain, for especially for the second half of the day. But circling back to meditation from a peace standpoint, it's really been something that has improved my quality of life more than many other things. And it's something, when you talk about hitting the lowest common denominator, something that everyone can be and should be using, there's so many different forms of meditation. When I first started, and it was very hard for me to quiet my mind and understand, like what the hell am I doing here? Like, why am I? I can't stop thinking. What is this quiet space that I'm trying to get to? And it didn't really work for me. But two things made a big difference. One was using something like brainwave entrainment through Brain FM. I could throw in the headphones, and even I noticed even if I thought during that.
Kyle, what is brainwave entrainment?
Basically, you're using some type of music to train the brain into a certain wave state, whether it's alpha, theta, those kind of things. We want to take that down from a high thinking beta wave state where we're really just go, 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 and we slow that down just a notch. So, you know, Stephen Kotler has pioneered and talked a lot about flow states. I think Stealing Fire is an excellent book that I just finished. But how we get into that, I mean, there's many paths to the same truth, right? And one of the ways that we do this and has been done for thousands of years is through meditation. So if you find it really hard to sit quietly in a room, or if it's hard to find a quiet room because you have kids or different things going on, or you're in the office and even with your office doors closed, it's still pretty loud outside, you can throw on the headphones and close your eyes, throw an eye mask on, and enter into your own little quiet time. And 15 minutes later, you feel the difference. I mean, it really is a game changer, and that's why I promote these guys. I am affiliated with them, so full disclosure there. You know, these guys I work closely with, they sponsor my podcast. But it's a phenomenal tool, and for $7 a month, I think it's well worth the price of the ticket.
I interviewed them, and for those of you listening, I'll put a link to that interview in the show notes. But one of the things that I've noticed with it, well, a couple of things. The first we discussed this morning, and I'll get to in a moment, but
The one is that, yes, you can take a nap without actually sleeping. You put it on for like 20 minutes or even 5 minutes, and you feel as though you've just kind of disconnected from the world for a little while. It's mm-hmm. it's very hypnotic. The other thing that you mentioned is it's almost so hypnotic that if you put it on, let's say, an 8-hour sleep cycle, and this might sound ridiculous, but some people like to sleep longer than 8 hours, and the longest you can program that thing for right now is 8 hours. You wake up when it stops. So the little hack I've found for that, whether or you know, in addition to that, I think the longest you can nap on the app is 45 minutes. And let's say you actually want to nap like an hour, which is real, like a lot of times I will nap for an hour. What you do is you put on your Brain FM app, and then there's another app called Sleep Stream, which is like a DJ for sleep, for deep sleep, for power naps, for focus, for creativity, for anything. And I'll play that in the background of Brain FM. So I've discovered that my phone can play both sounds at the same time. You can activate both apps simultaneously. So you play the Sleep Stream at the same time that you're playing the Brain FM. And then when the Brain FM turns off, the Sleep Stream's still going, and it doesn't wake you up.
You don't get woken up abruptly.
You stay in that state of sleep. So there's your little app tip for those of you who want to know how to have your Brain FM and hack it. Another thing that I wanted to touch on was you're also very much into, you know, I know, for example, you've been on the Joe Rogan podcast, and I believe that you talked quite a bit about ayahuasca on that podcast. And when we were paddleboarding yesterday, you were discussing, you know, various successes and failures that you've had with that plant, as well as other psychedelics. When it comes to psychedelics, what are some of the biggest things that you've learned as far as efficacy for certain situations, or dosages, or sourcing, or any practical tips for people who would want to utilize psychedelics for any of the things that you've found them to be efficacious for?
Yeah, I think that's a deep rabbit hole to go down, and certainly a loaded question. I think really a great place to start for people trying to get into this would be the Psychedelic Explorer's Guide by Dr. Jim Fadiman. He'll talk about everything from microdosing for creativity and just changing perspective all the way till going deep. So what would be considered a heroic dose, as Terrence McKenna calls it, 5 grams of mushrooms or more, things like that. What you need in terms of a sitter, a babysitter, basically somebody that'll sit with you and make sure that everything's okay. So if you hear an odd noise, or if the door knocks or there's some interruption, you have somebody to handle those situations for you and make sure things are fine. All the way up to a guide or a shaman. And obviously a shaman's going to have a different level of understanding of what the plants are doing and where you're at in that space, and be able to guide you through some of the tougher moments. But, you know, really there, this is something that anybody who talks about psychedelics will talk about. This is set and setting. So your mindset going into it, are you don't take these things when you're having a mental breakdown. You take these things when you're well-prepared. You've meditated or prayed.
But don't a lot of people use like microdosing with LSD or microdosing with psilocybin if they're, for example, like low on sleep?
Yeah, and that's a whole different ballgame. I want to separate that real quick. These things are dose dependent, and the what you get from them are completely different experiences, even among the same thing. So if we're just talking psilocybin, if you were to have a 0.5 gram microdose, that's going to be a world different than having a 5 gram, 10 times the amount. Heroic dose, which will really shift, you know, you're talking about things like dissolving the ego, an out-of-body experience, possibly having a visionary state where you can go through a dream world and experience things as other people. Or, I mean, we really don't need to get into the things that you see, but in terms of the impact that you have, I mean, these are some of the, when I talk about, and you know, you joked about this with JP Sears, the micro level versus the macro, more is better, and that was tongue-in-cheek. But if I can quote Terrence McKenna, he was giving a lecture on Lorenzo Haggerty's podcast, The Psychedelic Salon. And while he's giving the lecture, one of the questions, he opened it up to the public to ask questions. And one of the guys said, is there a wrong way to take psychedelics? And he laughed and he said, yes, if you don't take enough. And the reason for that is, during the 60s, when it was all about flower power and partying, and you're listening to Jimi Hendrix and you're out at Golden Gate Park with 30,000 people, it's very easy to just say, oh, I'm going to try some of this, and I'm going to try some of that, and I'm drinking mm-hmm. beers and this kind of thing. And you don't go in to your own meditative state where you're mm-hmm. alone, you're quiet, you're in a dark space, and you can really dive deep. And the beauty of a macro or heavy dose of these things is to really understand yourself differently and to think of the world differently, to see the world with new eyes, to shift your perspective and to understand things about yourself maybe you couldn't understand. But you don't get that when you're surrounded by a large group of people, if you're out at a house party or a bar. It has to be a situation and a setting. The second part of this is the setting, where you can give yourself space to really dive deeper and understand things, and maybe face some things that you didn't know were there, or face some things that you don't want to face. You know, that's a big one. When you talk about things like ayahuasca, and they talk about that as being the apex of teacher plants, so the pinnacle, one of the
teacher plants,
the deepest experience you could have among these things. And, you know, iboga is right up there with it. But out of all psychedelics, ayahuasca has been one of the most transformative and one of the hardest things that I've ever done. And it usually is that way every time. It's different every time, but it's a much harder situation to go through.
Is it hard because it's uncomfortable physically or because it's uncomfortable mentally? Because
Both.
I mean, you're a fighter. You played football. I mean, it seems like throwing up and having some mild physical discomfort wouldn't be that big of a deal for you.
Yeah, there is the physical discomfort. They call it la purga. You're going to purge of some sort. And purging could be laughter. It could be crying. It could be a physical purge, like vomiting uncontrollably or pooping your brains out, which has happened to me more often than not, especially with the parasites and candida. But there's some mental stuff. I mean, if you think about things that we go through life and something happens to us and we try to forget it, you know, therapists will say you're blocking this memory out, you know, let it come up and these kind of things. And the truth is, everyone's got baggage. Everyone goes through stuff. And even the super rich kid that grew up having everything, whose dad was never around, never went to one of his games, was out of town all the time, went on trips and left him at home with a live-in nanny, that kind of shit, that kid's got problems too, right? And so when you take a substance like this, you basically throw the curtains back, and whatever's underneath is going to rise to the top. So the things that you're bothering, if you had a really traumatic experience like a rape, or if you're a soldier and you watched one of your friends and fellow veterans die right in front of your eyes, you might go through that entire experience all over again. But seeing it for the second time allows you to see it from a new angle and allows you to heal from that and move on. And you might think you're over that, but it's really about getting through that another time to understand it differently and truly heal from it that allows you to move on and experience life differently.
One thing that I'm extremely curious about was that yesterday when we were on the paddleboard, you said something like, I asked myself a question to get the answer. And is that something that is typical in a ceremony like this, where you would actually say something to yourself? Are you cognizant enough to say, because I haven't done ayahuasca before, for example, so to say, hey, I want to know this about whatever. Let's say, let me think of a good example here. Should I be spending more time with my children, and, you know, in the morning while they're having breakfast, like that type of thing? Like, should you ask the universe that question about yourself, and can you?
Yeah, you can. So you set an intention before you go into this, and you can pray on it, meditate on it. You can just write it down if you're not into those sort of things, but really understanding and outlining what you want to get from the situation. What are the things that you want to work on and improve in your life? And you take that, you know, weeks ahead of time going into this ceremony. So once you're there, you have something to focus and return to when you are going through some of these physical discomforts.
So you actually prepare.
Yeah, so you definitely prepare.
Like a notepad?
There's a pre and post. Yeah, a lot of people bring notepads. They'll write things down during the ceremony, but it's
in my opinion, to text your friends.
Yeah, I've seen some people pull open the iPhone to take notes, and it's a little disturbing. So try to not use electronics.
Remove the SIM card if possible.
Yeah. Exactly. Keep it in airplane mode. But, you know, I'll give an example. I just thought of my wife, and this was before we were married. I thought of her in my first ceremony. And my very first vision, this was after a really hard purge. And I thought of her, and I became her. And I relived every single argument we've ever had in our relationship up to that point as her, looking up at me, yelling at me. But the things that were coming out of Natasha's mouth, it was all stated in a way that Kyle understood it. And when I pulled out of that, I mean, it was just pure waterworks. I cried and let go. And I understood that in all those situations, we weren't coming eye to eye because of our own filters, of our own background, of our own prejudices, and saying things or thinking things like, yeah, you just don't want me to have fun, or, you know, I used to drink like an asshole, so why are you on me about drinking? I just want to have a good time. Not being honest with myself and understanding that I was really destroying myself. It was not in a productive way. It was not to have a good time. It was, hey, let's go balls to the walls because there was some shit inside that I hadn't dealt with, right? So these things can really bring positive change to the way you live. And, you know, nothing, I can give credit to nothing more than really wanting to do that work first. It's not something you just show up to and say, hey, let's see what happens. You know, you have to have a reason of being there. And understanding that about yourself and wanting growth and wanting to improve your quality of life, and you'll get more from it than you expect.
Yeah, interesting. I'm a little bit scared because my brother and I are going down to do a 7-day iboga in Costa Rica in October. And so I'll definitely be going in equipped with a notepad and plenty of self-reflection beforehand.
Quite deep.
Yeah. You also, of course, have the things that are a little less deep than that you play around with. I noticed you're preparing to drive home after we podcast. You've got the kratom out, the little capsules of kratom. And that's an interesting pick-me-up. You like to use that stuff when you're on a road trip, for example.
Mark Bell hooked me up with that.
And don't worry, the sheriffs won't listen in. Yeah. Know, I'm not sure if it's illegal to be consuming that when you're driving.
I think it's a legal gray area. Yeah. But no, I wouldn't, you know, kratom is an opiate, and in a high dose of 6 to 8 capsules, or if you're, you know, a bigger guy like myself, maybe 10 capsules, it's a big sedative. So I don't want to be drowsy behind the wheel, but I'll take one capsule.
Well, it can be a euphoric uplifter too.
For sure.
What I find very similar to the caffeine.
Yeah, for sure. And that's what really why I take that on a road trip, is that I don't feel a ton of discomfort sitting in a tiny Prius for 17 hours. Mm-hmm. And it does sharpen my mind and wake me up a bit. So while I'm driving home, I'll listen to a ton of podcasts. I'll finish another book on Audible. Mm-hmm. But I'm tuned in. I can pay attention to these things. I can still have my eyes on the road and understand what's going on around me. It doesn't shut me down in the way. And same thing would go for something like LSD. You know, if you do 400 or 500 micrograms, you're going to be out of your body. But if you take a microdose of 10 micrograms up to 50 micrograms based on experience and size, you're not going to experience that at all. You're going to be highly tuned in. And that's, you know, a big reason why a lot of these Silicon Valley tech guys are getting into it and really work on it for creativity and innovation.
I'll do typically for a big writing session about once a week. I have a little volumetric doser up in my bathroom and just do about 10 exactly. And it's very good for that, for lateral thinking patterns and for almost like merging your right and left brain interaction. It kind of keeps you out of being in a super overly analytical mode and more open to creative ideas seeping into anything that might otherwise be analytical.
Yeah,
so it really is interesting.
It's fascinating because science is catching up to things that people were saying a long time ago. And this goes with everything from yoga and meditation onto psychedelics and a lot of the work that's being done by Roland Griffiths at John Hopkins University and things like that, where they're doing fMRI and brain scanning while people are under the influence of LSD and psilocybin. They're seeing this globalization of the brain and new neural networks being created where the body and the mind can think about things from different angles. And it's pretty fascinating to see science really catch up to what hippies have been saying since the 60s.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, speaking of hippies, I'll lay out the tea that I made for Kyle so that he could get a good night of sleep last night before we did this podcast. It was kind of funny because I made each of us a giant mug of this tea, and then my son came into the room wanting us to blast dubstep and have a Nerf gun fight at about 10 p.m. and we had our tongues hanging out the corners of our mouths.
We were halfway through that giant
course
cup.
Racing and paddleboarding and you know, playing around with this hyperoxic unit in my office and sauna and cold pool, but we were drinking my little nighttime blend. So into a little pot of water, I put about a tablespoon of kratom, another squeeze of vitamin C to enhance the absorption. Any ascorbic acid increases the absorption of alkaloids from things like kratom or marijuana or anything like that. We took some of my company's nature CBD capsules with the ashwagandha and the lemon balm, broke open 8 of those, and so we put about 80 milligrams of CBD, no THC in there, a couple of packets of the 4-sigmatic reishi, which is like a relaxing mushroom extract, a little bit of stevia for flavor, a little bit of cacao for flavor, and a little bit of what's called copaiba oil, which is, it's kind of like this agent that increases the absorptability and deliverability of just about anything that you mix it with. And so we put a few drops of that in there. It was a nice little Nice little nightcap.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. I slept like a rock until 7:30, just out cold.
Yeah. Well, I know you got to drive to Vegas after this, but I'm glad you got a good night's sleep and that we got a good podcast in this morning, bro.
Hell yeah, brother. That was fun. Thanks so much for having me up here. This has been a blast. Word. Absolute.
Word. Anytime. And for those of you listening in, I've got plenty of photos. I've got videos. If you guys don't follow me on Snapchat, I actually Snapchatted much of the podcast today, so you could kind of see the environment in which we were at. And that's something I do a lot of. If you go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/Snapchat, you can check that out. And all the show notes are at bengreenfieldfitness.com/Kyle. Best website for you, Kyle, for people to go to would be what?
Well, you can see me on Twitter and Instagram at Kingsboo. I'll be starting a website a little bit later. And then the podcast that's launching this month is Current Space with Kyle Kingsbury.
Current Space with Kyle Kingsbury. I'll make sure that I tweet that out myself. And if this podcast that you are listening to right now comes out close to the time that Kyle releases his podcast, just head over to the show notes at bengreenfieldfitness.com/Kyle. And I will link to that and a lot of show notes today, but everything from Kyle's sauna suit and Hypoxico setup to some of those books that we mentioned, like Walls Protocol and Plant Paradox, to resources for making your own sleepy time tea, to the Psychedelic Explorer's Guide, and oh, so much more goodness. So check it all out at bengreenfieldfitness.com/Kyle. In the meantime, Kyle, thanks for coming on the show, man.
Thank you, brother.
All right, folks, this is Ben Greenfield and Kyle Kingsbury signing out from bengreenfieldfitness.com. Have a healthy week.
You've been listening to the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast. Go to bengreenfieldfitness.com for even more cutting-edge fitness and performance advice.